birthday to Dorothy Gage, my beautiful mother. Yeah.
Yay.
Happy birthday.
And didn't mean to cut you short, but I forgot. Happy birthday to one, my cousin, Robert Patrick. What up, man? Well, we call him Juicy, but I don't like calling the man Juicy. So what's up, birthday to my cousin, Happy Robert Patrick. And to my grandmother, who celebrated her birthday yesterday, Joanne Malone. Happy, happy birthday. I'm sorry I couldn't make the dinner, but work needed to be done. So happy birthday, Granny. Love you.
All right. Now, this is the perfect time. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is the terrible truth.
This is the terrible truth. Looking terrible like a slave and a bomb.
Greetings and salutations. This is Kent Clark of Terrible Truth. This portion of The Terrible Truth is brought to you by my favorite, Bobby Christina's Other Brother Lover Rubbers, when your adopted brother looks too damn good.
And Terrell Owens' first round draft pick condoms, perfect for her ambition, now in new ultra thin. It's just a ring. It's like you're wearing nothing at all.
Yeah, now with just
the
ring. Invisible condoms,
ring.
Now with just the ring.
Like you wear nothing at all.
That's
ultra
all
thin. The only thing thinner are white lips. But anyway, look.
I have some apologies ready. We ain't 10 minutes in.
Yeah, it's that time. Look, I've missed it.
It's
all right.
One of them times. That's right.
Check this out here. Right. I was debating on which one to do first, but I'm going to just kick it off real light with this one. New York City gym teacher claims 6-year-old student beat him up. A 5'10", it happens. A 5'10", 220-pound gym teacher, John Webster, is not a slight figure, but the former college football player claims a 50-pound, 6-year-old student physically assaulted him and sent him to therapy. The New York Post reports that Webster fractured his ankle and injured his knee, all at the hands of a 4'2" Rodrigo Carpio. I think he's kin to that. Yeah, it's coming. We'll wait till it's over, then I'm gonna say it. Walker says he now wears a brace on his right leg. It's sort of like an angel devil sort of thing. Webster 26 said of Rodrigo. The boy looks like an angel, but then all of a sudden that halo turns into horns. It's been a nightmare. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. And there's reportedly more than just incidents with Webster. Rodrigo, a first grader at PS 330 in Queens, also allegedly kicked the school principal and pinched up other individuals, including a school security officer. Webster, the fat kid's running. Webster told the Post that the confrontation started when he was escorting several students to the school cafeteria. I tried to hold his wrist and he began biting me, Webster said. I took him to the principal's office, then he kicked me in the ankle and one kick landed right on my knee. I felt a pop. Lawyer Andrew Sybin, who is representing Webster, described Rodrigo as a tiny terror. It is said that teachers like Mr. Webster are not offered protection from someone who can endanger other teachers and students, his lawyer told the paper. However, Rodrigo parents say the allegations are ridiculous. The lawsuit is totally absurd, and the boy's father, Jorge, or George, but we're going to keep it Espanol. Rodrigo, 44. How could a little boy do so much damage? This is a terrible thing to say about a child, his mom said. Yosef Marcia. All right. That's it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, you're late for recess. Come on.
I done told you. Oh, nope. Can't do it. Oh,
well,
man.
In the man's defense, I mean, with kids, you can't do anything to them. You can't say anything.
Really?
You
oh, you can't.
Fighting back the urge to slap them.
Let me ask you this. Some 6-year old breaks your kneecap, you ain't gonna forget how old he is before? Because I will. I'm gonna forget your six. At that point, if you kick me in the kneecap and I hear it pop, you're not six anymore. I believe the Bernie Mac rule applies now.
No, I'm just unemployed.
Yeah, in the chest or the throat, the Bernie Mac rule applies.
Right.
I'm just saying. No. And then we don't know. He probably, hey, home, coming to cut you. Yeah. Nah, I can't.
Oh, just messed up.
Come on.
No, we all know they all don't carry. They all don't carry box cutters. We all know that they all don't carry box cutters, so it's all good. Yeah, Betty had on his best brown khakis. With his wife beater shirt on, and he just
wow.
That's okay.
Has he ever had his stuff pushed in?
Yeah. They called him Little Baby Joker. Say, what's today? Oh, today, this is Friday after next. Y'all know the. I don't. Mm-mm. Yeah,
that
but
is
you know, they kids are bad, man. Kids are terrible. So I don't blame them if they want to kick the little kid in the throat. I don't. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Don't you think that the lawyer's working pretty hard for a phony lawsuit, though?
If I'm in a jury, I'm going to just have to stop in the middle of this trial and raise my hand and be like, excuse me, Your Honor, I just got a question. For real? And then just sit right back down. That's just
really?
Ask one question and sit, really? We here for this? I'm missing the middle of Maury where Keyshawn is testing the 16th guy for her baby, and you just you got me here for this.
Sure, right?
Nah, nothing about this seems right, Your Honor. I could be at home watching Maury incriminate us.
Right.
So
you gonna come in that courtroom with that same phrase? You can't beat
right.
A kid, but you sure can suit the hell out of
his come
parents.
In with a motor ride. He gonna come in with from the scooter store. Right. Coming in with some from the scooter store with his leg kicked up like, oh, from him, Your Honor.
And I will
look
too.
At him. Those Pokemon are not for fun. He went straight Goku on me, Your Honor. I saw it.
Right.
Yeah. And he threw an angry bird at me.
Let's go ahead and go into our first break. Hey, we're going to go into our first commercial break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Hey everybody, this is Ray Davis of True Brothers Radio, taking this time to say thanks to everyone who's tuned into the show. We are on the rise and we have you to thank for it. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to join our Facebook page, give us a review on iTunes, or drop us a line at wewanttruth@att.net. Also, don't forget to tell your friends about the show. Due to you spreading the word about the show, we are on our way to becoming the number one show on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks again for joining the True Brothers family. Peace.
Oh, yeah. Whole world. MPD.
True Brothers Radio.
Brothers, True Brothers Radio, and we're back. And just to say that he got kneecapped by Webster, man.
Yeah. Or L. Webster-O.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was about to say, everybody back.
Yeah, we here, man. You all right? You all right?
Yeah, just checking. Y'all got all silent on. Yeah.
Nah, I was here to go, yeah. You know, he got kicked by L. Webster-O.
Yeah, we heard you.
I got you. Okay. Well, let's go on to our next story. Which woman pulls gun, poops in kitchen after finding hubby with another woman.
Okay.
We just need to get in the habit of just repeating our topics because half the stuff is unbelievable. One more time, please.
Sure. Vero Beach woman, gun. Poops in kitchen after finding hubby with another woman. A 33-year-old woman and her older boyfriend were sleeping in their Vero bedroom on 2:30 a.m. when the boyfriend's wife stormed in with a rifle. The wife identified as Barbara Shermerman, 51, pointed the weapon at 42-year-old husband to kill them both, according to accounts given by the husband and the girlfriend. The husband got the gun away, but that didn't stop her from going on a rampage. She made it on the car side of the master bedroom, defecated on the kitchen floor, grabbed a second shot, and started destroying Christmas ornaments. I found him in bed with a naked chick. Supposed to do, just quoted the county sheriffs.
Oh, dear.
December 21st event. What's that?
No, I said, oh, dear. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah. Schumann and her husband are divorcing and have been separated for months. Her husband and his girlfriends told investigators. They said they didn't know what prompted her to show up at their home and start an armed conference 2:30 in the morning. Schumann eventually left the second rifle in the dining room and vacated the premises. The police found her at her apartment, opened the door without being asked any questions, and said, I found the naked with a chick. What was I supposed to do?
So I grabbed my rifle.
So there you go. I grabbed my rifle. This is my rifle. This is my gun. And I break Christmas ornaments up for fun. Now,
and she
that's how
both?
We do.
Now, let me get this straight. I heard something in there. Did she defecate on the floor?
I think she that's
what I'm saying. And took stuff on the floor.
Okay, why? Okay, why? It just doesn't seem like, you know what I'm going to do? I'll show you. What are you doing? Pulling your pants down for? Like, who says this is how I'll show you what the problem is, how to fix you? I'm going to just spread some on your floor there. That ain't shag. Those are worms coming out of there. I'm like, who?
Maybe she was drunk.
Nah, because she wouldn't have hit. She wouldn't have hit with so much accuracy.
Maybe. Maybe. Nah.
Wow.
Yeah. She 818-514-1202. The killer. They don't live together. They've been separated for months. She's got an apartment. He's got a house. And she just showed up and said, look what I think.
Yeah. It just sounds dumb to me. Maybe that's where I'm at, and I just lost all faith in people as a whole. But it just sounds dumb to me. Like, who says this is the way to get revenge? This is the way. I'll make you want me and leave her by doing this to your floor. Now you'll want me because this is what you find sexy, right? You wasn't complaining. Nah, I'm going to stop because it's just going bad from bad to worse.
I don't know what to say to that. That is bananas.
Yeah. The sad part is the Christmas ornaments were the real victims.
Right. Was the real victim of the whole thing. You took out Jesus lights. Not good, man. Not good. But whatever. So hey, I guess we learned something new today.
That's what someone should market them as, Jesus light.
Yeah.
That time of year, Jesus lights, and put them on your house.
Can you call them Jesus balls?
No.
Because they're Christmas ornaments, and they're shaped like balls. So you can't call them, all right, whatever.
No.
Holy tree balls.
No.
Oh, you can't call them holy tree balls? Whatever,
no.
Man. Y'all got to come up with ideas. We probably need to get some patents on these things, man, and go on Shark Tank and present it to them people, man. We might be able to get something out of that. Holy tree balls.
Okay, matter of fact, on the Christmas tree, what do the balls represent?
That's a good question.
Oh, man, I was going to go there. I can't. Oh, man, why are
no,
you,
please
you
don't.
Tempting me? You're tempting
please
me
don't.
Today.
Yeah,
I'm trying not to.
Maybe
nah,
someone,
I think
so,
that they represent. Yeah, if anybody knows what the ornaments that shape like balls represent for a Christmas tree, 818-514-1202.
Maybe they're supposed to represent the North Star.
No, but then, if that's why they put the star at the top of the tree.
Right.
Oh, yeah, good point.
The tree represents the North Star.
The porcupine.
I have absolutely no idea.
Did he say the porcupine?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
Who?
What?
Oh, I thought you
what
said
porcupine?
The porcupine. I was going to say, where did that come
I said
from?
The
yeah, that is kind of what it sounded like, eh?
Yeah.
I said the star at the top of the tree represents the North. And the other light the other stars, but what do the balls represent?
Oh, man. Oh, man. Because we're back. We're new, and we promised that we'll be a little safer this year, and I can't say what the balls represent on the tree.
Please don't.
And they all around the tree, too. Wouldn't that make the trees a hooker? Since so many balls on them.
What?
Wow, dude.
Because look at the whole analogy, right? First off, you have this, I don't want to say analogy. Look at the whole thing in general, right? You got this thing, we'll just call it a tree, and they call it a firm or whatever the case may be, right? So firm is something that represents woman. I like to think of a woman as firm. Then you put all these balls on her, right? Then after that, you run a train around her, right?
Oh, Jesus. Okay, look.
And then you give her gifts and hoping that it brings you joy. It's just, you got to think of it. See, y'all don't think like Devon thinks. That's just bad. It's bad.
I'm astounded. I never came up with that analogy.
Yeah, see?
So what you're saying is, okay. So
Christmas is for pimps. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Damn. Dude.
Okay. So nobody sees that but Devon. Okay, that's fine. That's okay with me. You put a train. Okay, never mind.
No, I done never came up with that analogy. Never.
Yeah.
Train and ball.
That was
you get, Ray?
That was a stretch.
Can't add any insight.
Hold on. Just to say, you keep the ball.
See, yep.
Wow.
Then you keep the balls and you just throw the tree to the side. Right. Yeah.
To the curb, literally.
See, somebody gets where I'm coming from with this, man. The tree is technically just a phallic
shape.
Your tree is you only bring out what you want to show out for your friend. It's like your trophy piece that you got. You bring out, then people come through. You know how you bring that one girl around? Your boy's like, hey, dude, yeah, shorty, yeah, she's nice. That's how you do with the tree. People come to your house, oh, man, that tree is gorgeous and beautiful. And then you say, yeah, man, you know, I'll be dropping these balls. Anyway.
Okay,
anyway,
so what's the lights for? Right. What's the angel for then?
Oh, see, that goes back to a show we did last year about angels and freaks. But we need not discuss that right now. And something you put the, and then you notice where you sticking the angel at the top of your tree under the dress. Think about that. And then you notice like some trees, the angels don't come on until she's put on top of the tree.
Okay, so
that?
The phallic shaped Christmas tree is going under the angel's dress. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the top
with
of the tree is going under the angel's dress.
Wow.
And then the ball.
Wow.
And then the train goes around.
And then the train goes around her. And then the dude comes down the tree, call him hoes. What don't we see about this? I don't get to see.
Oh,
no,
that's
right.
The reason why Santa says ho, ho, ho.
Exactly.
Your Aperture Brothers do apologize for any inappropriate remarks that were made and will be made during this broadcast.
Well.
Wow. That was
who are we apologizing to? I don't see nothing to apologize about. I don't. We're apologizing for a holiday that's technically they brought out the inner freak in themselves on this day, man. We didn't do it. We just stating the obvious.
Oh, wow.
Whatever. All right.
That's what we're doing.
Yes, man. Yes.
And if you're not careful, to turn the house down.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, what's your take on it, Ray? What do you think the ball symbolizes?
I have no clue what they symbolize. Could they symbolize the planets? I doubt it. I mean, they.
Nah. Check it out. Nutcracker.
Yes.
Come on now. Nutcracker. Come on, man. Really? Nobody sees this but Devon.
Yeah.
Really? Nutcracker. All right.
For walnuts,
right.
Man. It's like
the Nutcracker who opens his mouth that wide.
Oh, wow.
Come on, man.
He ain't taking the whole Christmas tree and the ornaments.
Nah. He's called the Nutcracker and his jaw drops to his kneecaps. Really?
It takes nuts. To the
there you go.
Right.
Come on, man.
All right. You went down.
Really?
Come on, now.
Really?
And then.
No more. Look, no, and then.
All right. Nobody sees this, though, huh? Okay. When it gets exposed in 40 years that Christmas was the day for orgies, I don't want people coming in and come and say, well, you know what? Devon did tell us.
How much in trouble.
Okay, whatever. Then, why you think they call it Xmas? It was supposed to be three X's in that. I bet you. They just said, nah, that'd be too obvious. It's supposed to have been XXXmas. But nope.
All
right. They got cheap with those X's, ran out of ink down at Hallmark.
We're going to go for another break. Yeah, we're going to go on another break. When we come back, Candace is going to do her story, Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Brothers Radio.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, it's time for chicken.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, it's time for a feast. Eat a 90-piece bucket, you can tell. He's been to Clucking Bell. The chicken is a bird with a tiny brain. So we assume he doesn't feel any pain. We shrink their heads down, we breed them fast. Six wings, 40 breaths, and bend their calves. Cock-a-doodle-doo, we're psychotic crazy. Cock-a-doodle-doo, factory farming's insane. We denied it all before our surprise fell. Come down to Clucking Bell.
Clucking Bell! If you enjoy it, the chicken didn't die in vain.
Truth Brothers Radio.
We will have Minister Zen One from the Temple of Hip Hop in to talk about the state of hip hop. This is a chance to get how you feel about our stuff and hip hop off your chest in the second hour.
Yep, and I cannot wait to hear what some of the people are going to say about the state of hip hop right now, if at all.
I can't wait to hear what he said. It's going to be interesting.
Yep.
But my story is actually quite interesting. Now, I'm going to ask you two to let me get to the end. I really debated whether or not to utilize this story, but I'm going to do it anyway. Robert Jarrell Neal accused of stabbing deaf man after confusing sign language with gang signs.
You know what? That just made me mad because that was mine. But go ahead. Go ahead. I'll just use my other one.
Sorry, DeVar.
Nah, that's true.
This happened in Burlington, North Carolina. Police in North Carolina say a deaf man was stabbed several times after his sign language was mistaken for gang signs by another man. Burlington Police Sergeant Mark Yancey said 45-year-old Terrence Irving Daniels was using sign language with another deaf man. He said a third person saw them, thought they were flashing gang signs, and stabbed Daniels with a kitchen knife. A neighbor saw the victim and called emergency personnel. Daniels is in stable condition at UNC Hospital in Chapel Hill after Wednesday's incident. Police arrested 22-year-old Robert Jarrell Neal and charged him with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, inflicting serious injury and felony assault on a handicapped person. He's being held in Alamance County Jail. It is not known if Neal has an attorney. Now, that's just ridiculous.
Nah, he just had his deaf brother's back, dude.
Wow.
You know when someone's deaf.
So
you know.
He was just... All right, so the idiot was sitting at the bus stop.
He was talking to another deaf guy in sign language. He thought he was throwing up the fort.
Idiot who's seen that. The dude who seen it got mad and was and
tell me
like, what?
He didn't just say that.
Yep.
Oh.
VL for life, son.
Wow.
VL for life, son. Nah, you can stop throwing signs up, man. I got him. Dude's still throwing up gang signs. After the fact that he done stabbed, nah, you can stop, man. Oh, you can't hear. And they both signed together. Yeah, cuz.
Wow.
It's good, cuz. We got it, cuz. Let's kick him some more. Because he's deaf.
You knew dude was deaf. You know he was deaf.
Dude was sitting over there.
And the orange Julius.
When he walked up to him.
Dude was across the street chilling, drinking some orange Julius. And some man over there like, hold up, cub.
Right.
Hold up, cub. Oh, you don't hear me, cub? Went, got up, dropped it on, got to recycle, because you know thugs love to recycle. He recycled his orange Julius cup, then went over there and stabbed the deaf man. Because you don't mess with the VLs like that.
Well,
wow.
Ben ran
I
away.
I am happy to be here.
This Ben ran away.
Wow.
Man.
Oh, cuz, what you still standing with him for, cuz? He's dead, cuz. Kick him a little bit, though.
Oh, no. No, man, he's deaf, man. We got to get out of here.
Then the dude hopped in the deaf man arms like on Scooby-Doo, and they broke out.
Oh.
Okay. I am
just got the good sense God gave a rock, boy.
Yeah. I can't believe you did that, though. What was he throwing up? That
fight that you thought was a gang sign.
That man said, I want
to
go.
He was trying to point across the street and dude thought it was a fork. He was throwing up the forks.
For real, cub? Not over here, you don't, cub. I don't care if
I don't think it was short.
Really.
He only his index fingers was
yeah,
you know what I'm
saying? That came with the way he came out, though. The fingers was automatically twisted up like that from retardation. But
that's tough,
dude. Yeah, he just sitting there trying to be cool with the guy.
Yeah! Yeah! He got the chicken wing arm with the goofy
hand. Yeah, he got that chicken wing.
He got
that R&B hand.
Oh, that's see, you're not gonna lock me into
that
mess. Not on the air. We'll do that afterwards.
What the hell? He locked them up. Dude was like, for real? Not
feel bad because I know chicken wing on. He talking about.
Don't play that.
All the dude was asking was, what time is the bus coming?
Because I can't hear that horn over there. I cannot hear that horn.
Two, it comes in two.
Right. He said, nah, I come at 3 and held that fork up a little bit too long. Come here. Hey, Claire, what you use your thumb to say 3, Claire? You use your thumb to say 3, Claire? And hit that mark in the head.
So sweet. Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Okay.
That's awful. That's funny. A mess.
And stab signing out. He's signing. You still gonna throw up, cuz? Why you getting nice, cuz?
Man.
That's all right. I gotta, before we even do this, and I know we got close to like 15 minutes left, so I gotta get this one story out, though. Because it just so happened, right? Like I said, I saw the Yango. I'm not even gonna call it Django, because the D ain't silent on this one. The Yango, my man say, check this out, Gun Appreciation Day founder said slavery wouldn't have happened if slaves were armed. I'm gonna run that past y'all one more time, right? Gun Appreciation Day founder says slavery wouldn't have happened if slaves were armed. My question is, anyone took the Django Unchained a little too serious? On Friday, a chairman of Gun Appreciation Day, Larry Ward, told CNN slavery wouldn't have happened if slaves were armed. Quote, the truth is, I think Martin Luther King would agree with me if he were alive today that if given the right to keep and bear arms from the day one of country's founding, perhaps slavery might not have been a chapter in our history, Ward said on CNN. A coalition of gun rights and conservative groups announced on Monday that July 19, 2013 is Gun Appreciation Day. Organizers hope Gun Appreciation Day rivals Chick-fil-A day as a public statement.
Chick-fil-A
policy. Yes, that's real. That story exists. Because if Martin would have known to duck and pull out his AK-47 and shoot back, maybe he wouldn't have a giant hole in his neck right now.
Oh, no. This genius said, you know, if the slaves would have been armed, they probably wouldn't have went in for this slavery stuff, and we never would have had it. Genius.
If you know they had guns instead of those spears.
Where the North was,
but he said, had they had guns instead of those spears, maybe they wouldn't have loaded that boat so nice-like. God, the idiot.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, you know, somehow the slave owners kind of figured that out. You know, if we give them guns, they might resist.
Right. Maybe they would. He said it like they couldn't get a gun. He said it like they had options.
Right,
Right.
Like the slave master kept putting the musket in their hand saying, here, now go kill a chicken. And he just kept looking at it like, no, I can't even do it. I like
it. See, now this is why you're a slave. Get back in the hut while I look at your wife for 3 hours and debate if I'm a seller.
You know what?
That's a mess.
You know, now you know, Nat Turner's sitting there like, why didn't I think of that?
Hey, here I am slamming babies against cribs. And I'm
That was wrong, dude.
That's a mess.
That's not wrong.
Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah, he probably thought of that. Man, I cannot. I can't believe that CNN even aired that. Like, for real, this dude sitting there with a
chair. Yeah, you would have got the test pattern because I'd have punched dude. Like, are you serious? But what you're telling me is two slaves said, hey, I got an idea. If I get Master's gun, we could go ahead and just start shooting and just, next thing you know, we'll be free.
And we're in slavery all together. Because he didn't say they'd have been free.
That's stupid.
He didn't say they would be free. He said it would have ended, it wouldn't have been slavery. So, somehow I doubt that, bro. Like, nah, I don't believe that at all. It ain't even about, like, the man, it's not about saying that they would be free. He just said slavery wouldn't have happened, which means you have to go back until before they even decided to get on them ships, because it was a choice to load the ship. They had choices. Nah, I like it here, but I'm going to go take this long boat ride over to a land I've never seen before.
That's a mess.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I had to get that one out because I just felt the need. Just for real.
These are the people
Yikes.
That's defending your Second Amendment rights, right? My goodness. We got to get one of them on the show, man. Pray that they say something like that. What are you know, if the slaves would have had guns, it probably wouldn't have been slavery.
Yeah.
We must really be dumb. We must really be dumb.
But we couldn't be that smart. There's no way we could be that smart. The things that come out of people's mouths nowadays, man, is just utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
Like,
that's like just the watermelon gang, boy. I tell you
right.
The truth.
818-514-1202. Boy, just genius. Why don't we just
like, they got you just for running away. Now imagine what they you gonna point a gun at Massa, huh? Go ahead, Big Black, take a shot. Take a shot and see what happens.
Wait, what's his name? Big Black.
Big Black.
Big Black.
Yeah,
Big
Black Al. Go ahead, Big Black Al. Take a shot.
Al.
Take a shot. It takes you 15 seconds to reload, but go ahead and take that
right.
One against us 15. Let's see what happens.
Go ahead. Pour that gunpowder into that musket. Let's see you do with your bad, big black ass. You pour that gunpowder. I'll sit here. Don't worry. You're as bad as you think you are. You pour that gunpowder down that musket and take a shot.
There you go. Hey, hey. You can't get the musket ball down there. Give him one. Help him out. There you go.
No. Take your time.
You don't want it backfire. Stump it down deep.
Yeah. Mom Mabel, come yonder to get me some tea while he loads up this musket. Because I'm mighty parched waiting on him to shoot Massa.
Big black ass.
Yeah, it's just
big black ass musket and gunpowder.
For the revolution.
Gotcha.
Muskets and gunpowder, strictly for the revolution.
Oh, auto loader, so 70.
What you got, Ray?
Oh my God, do I need to go? After that one, I don't think I got any more. Anyway, let's try this one. Scorch magician to sue over DJ's
buddy
set on fire.
Hey, magician.
There you go. Scorch magician to sue over TV stunt in which he was set on fire.
Okay, I'm allowed to hear this.
It wasn't his trick? I mean, didn't...
That's what I'm asking. Like, he didn't... All right, man, set me on fire. He didn't ask for it.
No, magician, big black ass.
There you go.
Good.
A magician from the United States said he was getting medical treatment and pursuing legal action after a TV host in the Dominican Republic set him on fire in a parent's stunt.
Oh, yeah.
Accidentally on purpose?
Yeah, where we at? We in the Dominican Republic? Go ahead, continue. It's coming.
Wayne Hoochin said he...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is his name?
Wayne Hoochkin.
Yep, not so black with his ass. Not so black with his ass.
Oh, my goodness.
Ron said he is receiving treatments for burns on his face and scalp and hands that occurred when the guest host for the show Closer to the Stars program abruptly tossed a fistful of flaming liquid at him during a November taping.
You want to know? Oh, man.
But I'm covering.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you exactly what happened. I know exactly what happened.
Okay, what happened?
All right. One of my Dominican Republic brothers was in that audience. Him had bumble claw trouble with him from a while back.
God.
Had bumbleclaw trouble with him from a while back. He's sitting in the audience like, what's my man name again? Wayne. It's like, why he said to himself, was Wayne at this stage? He gonna stand up and go thunderclap on him. That's all it was to it. He stood up and said, "What you doing, brother?" and threw that right at his face.
Damn.
Yeah, he went full. Yeah, he went full Jamaican on him. Not Dominican. He went full
Jamaican on him.
He went full blood clot, river bloat dreadlock on him.
So he threw the fire on him, and my man caught fire and started running for the water fountain.
Yep.
Man, we had fire.
Because he debated it at first. He's like, "Nah, that's my brother." And he, you know how they get that. They say, "Brother." And my man say, "Nah." Then he just went ahead and went full. Yeah,
that. He went full Jamaican. He went full Dirty Dreadlock on.
So he gave him a seal.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He gave him a seal.
Oh no. Oh.
He got some of that. He got some of that hairspray and a torch. You know how you take a torch and some hairspray? He put a he lit his hand with hairspray, then lit his hand. I mean, he sprayed the hairspray in his hand, lit it, sat there for about an hour with it, because, you know, that them magic tricks take some time, because you got to set up, do all that. Yeah, so then, yeah, he just got tired of him. He remembered Wayne from back on Dirty Street and just let him have it to the face.
Dirty Street, dude.
Yeah. He owed Blondie Dredd some money and didn't pay up. Yeah, he owed Blondie Dredd some money, didn't pay up, and he sent Wasta Rocker over there to go take care of his business.
Yeah. Al, go hit him. Go get him, Al.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's Jamaican Al. That's my favorite. Those are my favorites, Jamaican Al.
That's new.
He went full bumper clod on it, Mom.
He went full bumper clod, the full roster bumper clod. That's what he went. He went Shotta.
Wow.
I can't even argue with that.
What do you think of it?
Yeah, Candace. Yeah, big black ass on fire over there, Candace.
Yeah, he is. Over that seat. He loaded that musket up real tight, like, I got it now.
20 minutes later, he's like, I got it now.
All right. Right, he just now got the musket in.
He
told him, well, it's about time, with you, isn't it? Nah.
Everybody else
on the feeling bed, so. If you're feeling real tough about yourself, Al, take the shot. Take the shot.
Oh, my God.
And if you miss, I got the rope right here.
I got an apology rope. I got an apology rope waiting for you.
Go ahead, Al. Take the shot. And if you miss, I got the rope right here.
You
like somebody want to swing from that apology tree, don't you?
Right. Well, look, we are getting ready to go into the second hour. We're going to have Minister Zen One from the Temple of Hip Hop in. We're going to be talking about the state of hip hop. And Minister Zen just entered the building, so we are all set. We're going to go ahead and get ready to go into the second hour and get it cracked. True Brothers Radio.
I got a million ways to get it. Choose one. Hey, bring it back, bring it back. Now double your money and make it
back.
On to the next one. 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 Hold up. Somebody bring me back the money, please.
Hold on that new shit. Niggas like how come? Niggas want my old shit. Buy my old album. Niggas stuck with you.
Hello, this is Candace, producer of Truth Brothers Radio, here to inform you of a global epidemic that has afflicted millions of people throughout the ages. FUD, fucked up dumb disease. It starts at birth and progressively gets worse as the person ages. Everyday people that you know suffer from FUD. Like that guy at the grocery store.
Ooh, let me get around.
That girl that
let
you work
around.
With. That weird kid that rides your school bus every day.
Ooh, look at his head.
People that you know and love. Admit it. There's definitely someone you love. Famous celebrities such as Tyra Banks, Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, Forest Whitaker, Steven Seagal, Val Kilmer, Rosie O'Donnell, Paula Deen are plagued with having FUD. Many FUD sufferers live in denial by stating that they just have a lot on their mind. But it's simply not true. for just 72 cents a day, we can help control fraud by providing these fraud victims with the necessary items, such as extra large hats, helmets, scarves, paper bags, to help these people cope with this incurable disease. Won't you help support Truth Brothers in our never-ending fight to control fraud and make a difference by calling 888-BIG-HEAD. That's 888-244-4323. Stop staring. Start caring.
Truth Brothers Radio. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know that you can leave us an email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F. Uh-oh. Okay.
Oh, Candace, yeah, you got a bad case of the chatter, sweetie.
Yeah, that is. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Candace?
Yeah, oh, there you
yes.
go. That's
a
bad better.
Case of the chatters. Yeah.
You had that. Yeah, you had that out for real. That was real skippy. But we got.
Oh. Yeah.
But let everybody know that Candace is in the chat room waiting and for your questions and comments. So yeah, if you didn't hear her, she's going to tell y'all again. She's waiting in the chat room for your questions and comments. And I'm sure you guys are going to have a lot of them for our special guest we have with us tonight. This man graduated as an apprentice of the Temple of Hip Hop under the tutelage of KRS-One. He has a current seminar, Hip Hop of Celebration. An in-depth look at the living state of hip-hop as a human skill and life strategy beyond the confines of modern technological dependencies. He dropped albums like Street Gnosis, Hip-Hop, Medicine Nation. This man has traveled the world, man, as an ambassador of peace and prosperity. We need everybody out there who's listening in the Truth Brotherland to give it up for the special guest of Truth Brothers Radio tonight, Minister Zen One. Everybody get your hands together.
Right, thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that in itself, man. I mean, I had a hard time trying to... We had to condense all your accolades, man. You got much going on in life, man. First off, thank you for sitting in with us tonight, man. We really appreciate that.
That's right.
Oh, well, thank you all for having me on. This is a real honor and privilege. I always, whenever we get something like this to get out and talk, it's just such a great thing. We appreciate all the work y'all are doing. Thank you.
It's something that needs to be talked about. You know, we're plagued with plenty of BS all over our television, our radios. You know, I've got a 15-year-old kid who, you know, and you remember back in the day when we used to get ready for school in the morning, ironing our clothes, we had a variety of different things to listen to. But now it just seems like we're just saturated with just garbage, you know, and it's a shame a lot of these kids will never really know what we came to know as it relates to hip-hop, so... You know, we definitely appreciate you coming on the show and breaking some truth down to us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, something you were just saying about when we were kids. You know, I
with the variety that's out there as far as technology goes with music and the internet and radio and television, it's the inspiration isn't there like when we were younger. I mean, you know, I grew up in the late 70s, early 80s, and the variety of inspirational things, just even the cartoons had more, there's just, everything just seemed to kind of be more inspiring, where now it seems to be directing the mind to go somewhere. And most of the time it's a degrading place that they're sending the mind to go. If anybody imitates what is being in entertainment, especially what's being paraded as urban entertainment, if you actually go and live out what they're parading around, you will go to prison or end up shot or with a disease or in a broken marriage relationship. I mean, I'm not blaming all the ills of society on the media, but anybody who acts like the media is telling people to act, it's a self-destructive lifestyle.
Absolutely. For sure. We're going to get into a lot of that. Trust me, when we start talking about what went down in Chicago this summer that was supposedly hip-hop, and it was just terrible. Excuse me. But before we get into that, man, let's just break down some basic definitions here, because, you know, when I got on our Facebook and I asked, you know, do they know what people think hip-hop is, and people just said rapping and rappers, and they don't even understand the difference between a rapper and an MC, man. Why don't you start off with breaking down the difference between a rapper and an MC, and then just expand from there.
Okay. So let's precurse that then with that in hip hop culture traditionally with Kool Herc in the Bronx, when we're talking about the original pioneers, there was four elements of hip hop culture: breaking, breakdance, and b-boy and b-girling, MCing, rap and rhyming, spoken word poetry. Graph writing, which is graffiti art, aerosol art, tagging, burning, bombing, and DJing, you know, the cutting and mixing and scratching, manipulation of records and music. Those four elements were the first four elements that came under one roof at Kool Herc's parties. And then a fifth element came along with Afrika Bambaataa and the Zulu Nation, and they brought knowledge in as the fifth element. And now we've taken those five elements as the temple of hip hop, and now we've got breaking, MCing, graph writing, DJing, beatboxing, street fashion, street language, street knowledge, and street entrepreneurialism. Those are the nine elements that we teach as hip hop. And to get into your question about MCing, or to get into the difference between a rapper and an MC, rap is something we do, where hip hop is something we live. Rap is something that a lot of people can do, but they're not living necessarily the hip hop lifestyle that an MC would live. Rappers, they rap for corporate interests. They rap for somebody else. Mm-hmm. They're rapping for a product. They're rapping for a corporate interest, a political interest, and not that the MC doesn't rap for special interests. But the special interest of the MC, he's representative of the community. She's a representative of the community. As MCs, we're representatives of our people. A good brother of mine, S5 today, was saying, he said, you know, I'm up there. I'm a mirror of the audience when I'm up there. I'm their mirror. I have to reflect them. It's not even about my opinion all the time as an MC, although that does come into play to keep it real with everybody. But it's more about I'm up here as the voice of the people as an MC. And even to go a little deeper, MCing is what we do when we pray. MCing is what the ancients did, the shamans did, is what the oracles did, is what the priests did. It's divine speech. It's a way to communicate God to the people, or spirit to the people, or something divine to the people, something bigger than the people to the people. And it's also a way for the people to communicate back, because I know as an MC myself, a lot of the subject matter that I talk about is based around conversations that I have with people in the community, with my brothers and sisters, and even with adversaries too. At the same time, as an MC, we have to be able to bring in the diversity that our community is facing, the misconceptions about who we are. We have to break down those stereotypes with our lyrics, with the way we carry ourselves. So just to put it in a real easy to digest form, Rap is when people are rapping for corporate interest and rapping for the sake of money. And that's all good. There's no judgment there. But what's happened is MCing has been completely washed away in all of that. And to where now when you talk about hip-hop, the majority of people around the world are going to think that when you're talking about hip-hop, you're talking about a rap music product. And that's just not true.
There you go.
Yeah, because it's not fun anymore. You know what I mean? It just seems like it's just all a commodity. Everybody's here to get their 15 minutes. Well, I'm not even going to say 15 minutes. We'll say more like 10, 12 minutes. And then it's on to the next piece of garbage.
It's no fun in it whatsoever.
Well, one thing that I wanted to say was that I've always noticed how actual MCs have longevity versus rappers who are just disposable and replaceable. I mean, you don't really have real MCs left in the game. I mean, actual MCs who are current in the game, as we could say, since it's being called a game right now. We have a lot of disposable, replaceable, interchangeable people who you can take one person out and put the next robot in. And that's to me, is kind of mimics, to piggyback off what the minister was saying not too long ago, that it's not an art form to me anymore. It's just like he said, there's nothing wrong with it. If you getting the check off it, you know, that's fine for you, but you're not being, like he said, a mirror to your audience. You're not reflecting them, and they're not giving you, you're not giving them anything to look at either. You're just giving them something for a moment.
Yeah, a lot of them are giving what the corporations are telling them, what the record labels are telling them, what the executives are telling them to. And once again, you know, I do want to put this out there as well. We are talking about the perception in the mainstream and what we see in the mainstream. In the underground, there are a lot of great MCs in the underground.
Absolutely.
For those who are savvy and know how to look in their communities, there are some great MCs who can hang with or who stand alongside in the rightful lineages of the Rakims, the KRS-Ones, the Big Daddy Kanes, the Nas's. There are a lot of MCs in the streets who fall under that lineage. Their voice, though, has just been squashed out because of the institution and how tight the grip is of the institution right now of mainstream media, mainstream America.
Right.
You know, my question is, would you say that, you know, since the consolidation of all of the music, because most of the music industry is now under like four houses now, and everything is so consolidated and so controlled that it's amazing that as the industry got more consolidated, hip hop as a culture or as an art form continued to get consolidated until it just reflected what the corporate entity wanted to reflect, and that's that stereotypical look of the rapper that they have today. You know, you gotta have a shirt off, you gotta be sagging, you gotta be gangster, you gotta flash guns, and you gotta rap very badly.
Yes,
I agree. And these are people that we run into on occasion. You know, without naming any names, it's a sad state of affairs. It's a sad state of affairs. On a few levels. And I really wanted to bring this point into it today, is that it's really, and this goes for anybody expressing hip hop. You don't, even if you're not having an element, maybe there's some parents out there listening who maybe have a son or a daughter who's an inspiring DJ or an inspiring graph writer or these things. What we have is, hip hop is what we're advocating now, because even with the knowledge now that is out there about what it means to be an MC, now this is kind of one of those other new ugly truths when knowledge comes along. Now people have a definition of what MC is, and they can go out and they want to mold that, but they're going out there for the popularity. They're going out for this, that, and the other, which once again is okay, but don't say you out there repping your community if you're not repping your community. If you're taking from hip-hop and hip-hop is giving freely to you and you are in front of a community and you are fortunate enough to have an audience as an MC with a sound system, if you're fortunate enough to be in the club as a rapper with a sound system and you're taking from hip-hop, you have to give back. You have to give back as an MC especially. You have to give back to the community. You have to show appreciation for what is all of us have to show appreciation for what is giving us a purpose in life, giving us a whole, I mean, in hip hop, I don't know that younger people really understand what life was like before hip hop. When you go back and look how bland American mainstream society, and I mean straight up corny, bland American mainstream society, and no alternative way to look at anything whatsoever. And then hip-hop comes along? Oh, you got to appreciate that, for real. For real. Remember when everybody used to wear the little tiny shorts and, like, the hair was feathered? And that was corny. It was just so corny. And that's why I'm so thankful for hip-hop myself. It just saved me personally from a bland, corny existence of, well, I don't even know what I would do without hip-hop. I don't know. My appreciation for hip-hop runs so deep because of that memory. And, you know, maybe some of these younger cats, these kids coming up, these youngins coming up, they maybe don't understand what it was like before that color and that sound and that vibration and that frequency and all this art came into the consciousness of the world. And really, at once, you know, I mean, it was so impactful. I was a white kid growing up in the suburbs, you know, and when I first heard Planet Rock and Freaks Come Out at Night and Jam All That from Nucleus and you know, I used to think Michael Jackson was hip-hop, too, because everybody was breaking the Michael Jackson, you know, and moonwalking.
That's true.
Yep. It was so, and I was fortunate enough, where I was at, a kid had moved up in my school from L.A. Because his cousin had gotten shot. And this was when I was 12 or 13 in junior high school. And his mom brought him up out of L.A. And he was a graph writer whose cousins had taught him to graph write. And so I had an understanding of hip-hop different at an early age where I was introduced to graffiti art as hip-hop. And then the mixtape he made me came along. So I never knew the difference between those two things. They were interchangeable. They were the same thing. They were the same vibe and frequency. And, you know, back in 84, 85, when Run DMC and you got LL and you've got, you know, Boogie Down coming out, Public Enemy coming out, you know, it was really interesting because of what the sister said earlier about it being fun. Even Public Enemy was fun. It was fun. Yeah. It's fun to listen to that revolutionary message. When I heard Fight the Power, that was fun. Like, me and my friends were, like, having fun. But they're like, that's what it is. So it's not just because they tried to portray an image of having fun. They've got all the girls, they've got all the tattoos, they've got all the cars, they've got supposedly, mind you, all of this stuff. And then they're dancing around with gold and man, I'm just saying, to me, that kind of hurts my feelings, and I think it's rude because we got some broke people in our community. This economy is no joke. And you're going to trade around with money, throwing it in the air, you know, cleaning up messes with your money, just, you know, throwing it at women. And what kind of message is that to people? We're broke out here in the streets, and we're rich in spirit. We're wealthy when we wake up to it. But when it comes to just plain cold hard cash, our community needs that. Why would we support somebody who throws it away and brags and actually tells you that they are better than you because they have this money? That's the message that I receive watching it. We're better than you. In fact, you're a sucker because you ain't getting paid and you ain't doing this dirt that's going to land you in jail. They ain't doing that dirt. As soon as one of them rappers does the dirt.
What they say now is you're not about that life. So because they'll say now in with a hurry is that you're not about that life. And that's
drink
something
that much
that,
alcohol and have that much sex and party that much, you get sick and ill. You're laid up. That's why they have Alcoholics Anonymous. If you drink like they be drinking in these videos. I mean,
man.
There you go.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, man, you've talked a lot on everybody's mind. I want to give them a second to chew that over. So we're going to go into a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and get deeper into what he's talking about. 818-514-1202. I see a lot of people hanging around out there. I know y'all got some questions for the man. Bring it on. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I'ma give it to ya, we're no trivia. Roll like cocaine straight from Bolivia. My hip hop will rock and shock the nation. Like the Emancipation Proclamation. With MCs approach with flame to set. Am I the runner to the wall and bang your head? I put the force, my force is doubting. I make the devil's tower to the corpus mountain.
When I'm Messiah, I set the microphone on fire. Rap sounds Larry and carry like Mariah. I come from the Shaolin fluff in the aisle I'm from. And some will do enough. Enough guns, 51 to come sweating. Stepping contest.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Are you a man but you're turned off by monster trucks? Have you ever watched the bridges of Madison County? Have you forgotten how to scratch yourself? If so, talk to your doctor, because you could be one of the 10 million men suffering in silence from a condition known as menopause. Menopause afflicts men over the age of 40 and is one of the leading causes of depression, the loss of manliness, and the popularity of movies starring Owen Wilson. But there is hope. Girly Man No More. Girly Man No More has been scientifically and clinically proven to increase manliness. Talk to your doctor to see if Girly Man No More is right for you. Girly Man No More should only be used as directed by your physician. Possible side effects include death, sudden loss of limbs, temporary disembowelment, rage, clammy hands, hairy palms, hearing voices, busy signals, extreme attraction to squirrels, and fear of elevators. Girly Man No More is not for men who are pregnant or who may become pregnant. Do not take Girly Man No More if you have hands or if you are currently taking any other medicine. So talk to your doctor and call now for a free trial. Girly Man No More. Also available in a topical cream. But that's just wrong.
How you doing, man?
Yo, man, I am so blessed. I you know, right. I'm outside of a building right now in Las Vegas, and the teacher KRS-One is inside actually teaching right now to about 100 people who came out for the lecture from last night's show, and the show was only maybe 250, 300 people. It was just a small venue. We like to do these small venues where we just run up and you know, do the small clubs. And do a teaching the next day over a weekend. And, you know, and then the fact that y'all called and the interview's going on at the same time, to me, that just shows the growth of our movement. So I just feel completely honored and blessed to be part of all of this, for real, for real.
No, I had one really quick question. You got to let us know.
Right.
Help you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I had one real, real quick question that I wanted to ask, you know. And I remember, you know, not too long ago, you were just saying how before hip hop, you know, how bland the country was, and then hip hop came and it almost revolutionized everything. And now I see, like now hip hop's kind of getting like this bad rap as a form of being derogatory, as being misogynistic, as being just crap music. But anything alternative, like your metal. like metal is becoming so popular because it's a message behind it, and all these other art forms that to me is sort of mimicking what hip hop started.
Mm.
But why is it that hip hop now, it seems like we're trying to bury art form? Why do you feel like that's the case though?
Oh, wow. You know, that's deep. And I can answer that with something we actually went through. Now, for those of us who remember, back in 1989, they put together an album called Self Destruction from the Stop the Violence movement.
Yeah.
And we, and, you know, the teacher KRS-One led the charge, but I mean, MC Light, Chuck D, Heavy D, Big Daddy, the list goes on and on. For those listeners who haven't heard the song, go out and look up Self Destruction. Biggie Fresh is on there. Look up Self Destruction and watch that. And then in 2009, we did the anniversary of that, the 20-year anniversary, and we put together a song called Self Construction. And when we put this track together, the teacher, when he's not one to, you know, I don't want to say call in the favors, but, you know, he never asked for anything from the community usually like that, you know, a Fat Joe or a 50 Cent or people who know and respect the teacher's work. So we put out a call as the Temple of Hip Hop for every MC who wanted to get on the Self-Construction, the new Stop the Violence Movement album for 2009. They were welcome to come along and show their appreciation for hip hop and to give back. And it really took off. I remember seeing Nelly come up in his Bentley with his crew and jumping out of the studio and being really serious with the teacher after they completely squashed their beef at this time because, if maybe y'all remember, they had that little battle going on about the same thing we're talking about
there
right
no
now.
No, he got spanked.
Yeah, okay. And what's interesting is though their battle was a lot based upon it actually opened up the discussion about what we're talking about right now. And to Nelly's credit, he had a really nice verse on the Self-Construction song. He came in and he was serious about the community and he was serious about what he could do to lay that in. But with that being said, Neo sang the hook on the track. Busta Rhymes was on the hook. Talib Kweli's on the hook. On the track itself. The Redman. The list goes on. And now Self-Construction comes out. We put this track together for free, mind you. Nobody, no money changed any hands. An all-star track where everybody came in just based on the strength and the word of the Stop the Violence movement and the work basically of the teacher. And the Temple of Hip Hop, and all of us who are community, they came out to represent that. Now, I, being at the time not used to the industry, I've heard stories, but just like anything, once you hear, you can hear the story, but once you're really living it, you really get a different perspective of it. And I remember driving the teacher on a tour while he's calling different record executives up. And these are the same record executives that say to you, yo, man, I love you. Anytime you need something, give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there for you. Whatever you need, Chris, anything you want, Chris, we'll give it to you. And this is the teacher they're saying this to. Now, so we're going out with this hot track that's already been mixed, mastered. Everybody who's hearing the track is like, yo, the truth is here. Thank God. Hip hop victory, we were feeling that. And they told us to, you know, to piss off. They told us to fuck off. I mean, I don't even excuse my language as a minister, but they told us to fuck off, literally. Like, it wasn't in those words. It was, they were not interested. Don't call us with that. We don't promote that. They were actually those words. We don't promote that. What do you mean you don't promote this? These are the artists. The game is on this. Neo's on
it. All of them were on that track. I remember it.
Yeah,
Rod Digger,
so
the game, Neo, all. Yeah, I remember that track.
Back in,
I think it was like 08, 09 when that came.
Game said, I never thought I'd tell a man to put a gun down until I saw a 12-year-old girl gun down. Like, Game. The Game said that. We had a piece from 50 Cent where he's saying,
I don't suggest any kid mimics the lifestyle I rap about. I'm rapping about a reality I lived in. I believe and I advocate that kids need mentorship. Kids need someone to look up to. They need to learn skills and trade. This is 50 Cent. This is how he thinks. And this is what the record executives and things don't want you to know about 50 Cent. And I remember thinking, man, I thought it was just maybe, I guess in the back of my mind, I was kind of hoping it was just a conspiracy or it really wasn't like that. So, you know, the question then became for me is, why are they doing this on purpose?
Exactly.
Well, here's my theory on it. Why they're doing it is because rap, I mean, hip-hop is not considered an art form by these people, by a corporate entity. Hip-hop isn't considered an art form. It's considered a product. And a product,
yeah.
You just make one and toss it away. Make one and toss it away. And like I was saying earlier, as the industry constricted down to like four houses for all it is, all of the record companies are basically under four owners, you have rap constricted and treated, and people like KRS-One isn't treated like an artist anymore. He's considered like a nuisance. Chuck D is considered a nuisance. They're not. Again, hip hop is the only art form that I can see that teaches the people who buy it not to respect the artists that came before the artists before them now. Again, if Stevie Wonder walked into a record company, everything is going to stop and everybody's going to bow their head and listen to what Stevie Wonder says. Like you say, KRS-One comes into there and says, hey, I got this record. I want y'all to push this. Man, get out of here. You're trying to teach people how to read. When you were talking about the golden age of hip-hop and when you were talking about 86, 87, when Chuck D blew up, Chuck D was in college. When EPMD blew up, they were in college. So now you went from the average MC being 19, 20, 21 in college, getting their worldview expanded. Then you got today, like you got Chief Keef and Lil Jojo, children who can't hear straight, let alone given a microphone and able to speak to millions. And this is what you get. What happened in Chicago this summer was a crying shame to see two kids acting like they want to kill one another, and one of them may allegedly have killed the other one over rapping, and rapping badly at that. I had to listen to that stuff this afternoon to do this show, and my eyes wanted to bleed. It was total garbage.
Wow.
Total garbage. Now, we know that the adversarial thing is a part of hip-hop, and yes, as two rappers want to get on stage and battle, it's supposed to be putting your wits together and putting your skill set together, but at the end, you're supposed to shake hands and walk away. Kumo D didn't shoot LL Cool J. You know, when it came down where people were really willing to get physical about MCing, something's wrong. Something's wrong, and instead of it being called out for being wrong, it got hyped up and push to the masses to where they thinking this is what they think they're following in a hip hop tradition by doing that crap.
Yeah. And that once again, that's been manipulation of the media. There's maybe this unfounded false belief of Tupac got killed by Biggie or Biggie killed Pac. You know what I mean? Like somehow there's no evidence of that anywhere. There's no truth to that anywhere. None of that. I mean, when you look at what's really going on behind the scenes, it starts getting really sinister there. There's some whole other stuff going on there. Without getting into it, there's some whole other stuff going on there. And that's what the media latched onto because of the record sales picked up. And even after the death, you know, once again, I just like to ask the community this question is, why are they doing this on purpose? Why are they portraying it? Why would they portray this image on purpose? Why?
Exactly.
And on another level, why are the men now where hip hop, for me, the reason I appreciated it because all of a sudden out of nowhere, even though I was white, I'm looking at this like, yo, there's some real men I want to mimic in my life. There's masculinity up there. They're talking about manhood. They're talking about being a man. They're talking about responsibilities. And these were young brothers when they were coming up, you know, like you said earlier. And you looked at a masculine image of a strong masculine role model as a male, as a kid, going, that's how I want to be. I want to be strong like Chuck D. I want to be strong like KRS-One. And now skinny jeans, the image of the male is very feminized in the videos. They're walking around with furs. They're sitting on silk sheets. I mean, that's a feminine image traditionally. And they're singing about, and I'm not even saying that that's how girls be acting. I'm sorry to the females out there. I'm just saying traditionally, in the mainstream view of things, that, you know, a male model doing what rappers do, that's a traditional feminine thing, where feminine models with female models would be up there laying on the silk sheets with the ring, and the fur and the gold, traditionally. Yeah. And to me, that's another thing that they've done. And I don't believe that that's a proper representation of the divine feminine in any way, shape, or form. Because, you know, we could go to Sister Soldier, we can go to MC Light, we can go to Roxanne Shanté, we can go to real women, you know, who stand up and are empowering. But why are they showing men now in these roles, especially in rap, where that's not how nobody looks like that in the streets?
Right, and it's to me. I also say that it's not that at that time, like you said, they were young adults. Right now, you got grown men listening to these rappers like Soulja Boy, who are these teenagers, and you got grown men who want to mimic kids. Therefore, if you keep that and if that mind state, if this is what they want to do, you don't have to beat them over the head with anything else. You can just keep them at a child's frame of mind, and they'll kill themselves.
I actually think, and you make a point with that, Devon, but I think it's because we all know marketing 101 is to get to the kids. You take an impressionable mind and put into it what you want to germinate out of it. And I think, you know, a lot of things that's going on today where we are demasculating men, you know, and feminizing them, and we think it's cool. You know, I have a 15-year-old daughter who's in high school, and just, you know, it just seems like the boys are being more feminine, the young ones are like more of a masculine attitude, you know, even with, you know, discipline.
Well, Candace, you're cutting out, babe.
Yeah.
You're cutting out, Candace. But I do get what she's saying. Another thing is when you just asked about the femininity, this is a good time to plug something that I love. It's a documentary called Hidden Colors. Check that documentary out, Hidden Colors.
Yeah.
It's one part of that documentary where Frances Quest Welsing was saying how she was breaking down in the 70s, how the specter of white supremacy and racism would force men to start acting like women. And she was talking about how she was laughed at in venues back in the 70s because that was hard to conceive. But as you can see, it's definitely coming to fruition.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's to me, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, maybe because I was able to be around a lot of things. Like I said, I mean, my dad wasn't a real, he's hip hop, but he was more of an old school type of more of a James Brown, more of a, you know, that type of genre of music. And I heard Earth, Wind, and Fire, that type of thing. And I heard that, but it's just the fact that I've seen the presence of man throughout him. So I couldn't want to mimic anything other than that. And I think hip hop should have a responsibility, like you were saying earlier, that hip hop should have a responsibility to the young dudes or whatever, the young guys coming up who don't have that father figure. I don't want a guy who is, you know, if you out here searching for something, hip hop should be able to fill that void to whatever it is. It should be able to lead a message to you to say, hey man, this is your path. You're supposed to follow this. And it doesn't do that anymore. It's leading you. When you got songs coming out called, I got to be frank here, you know, Two Reasons by, supposed to be hip hop, the song with Trey Songz and T.I. called, and the two reasons that he's in the club is for his bitches and his drink. And then you got another song with a dude called Future and all these other things called Bitches and Bottles. And it's telling you about that life.
And then you got women who will sit there and listen to these dudes degrade them, and but yeah. go out and say they want a real man. So what's your idea
right.
of that?
Right. Right.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. And you just hit on something even deeper there. You know what? Now this is the idea of a real man. What this is doing in to the female and to the feminine as well is just as damaging as the male.
Exactly.
You know, and we're not even talking now about how women are being portrayed as like an accessory. I mean,
mm-hmm.
our ancestors are rolling over in their graves right now to see
oh,
that
yeah.
divine feminine is being treated
no
as an accessory. You know, I just want to say that to all the women out there too. You know, we at the Temple of Hip Hop, we don't even teach that men and women are equal. We teach that women are above men, and we are very forthright in that, because if we don't honor and respect our sisters, our wives, and our mothers and our daughters, there is no future at all. Nothing.
That's right.
If we don't show appreciation for that. And you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, I the three of us who are traveling on the road, my good brother, Son One, and my other good brother, Mondo One, we're three grown dudes traveling on the road right now, working hard at hip hop. We don't have, we don't have our girls with us or our wives with us or anything like that. So, you know, decisions get made late at night because we dudes, you know, we dudes, we just don't care sometimes. We just like, yo, I'll sleep on a couch for the
right.
next 5 hours. I don't need a shower. I'll jump in the car and drive for
right.
eight more hours. But when you have a female there, she's like, no, 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 I ain't doing that. And you all don't need to be doing that. This is how we're going to do it. Oh, man, that's such a blessing and a gift. I mean, for men to have women looking out for you is a whole other level, because they have a sight that we don't have. They have an intuition that's stronger than ours. And we also have our own sight that they don't have. We have our own strengths, you know, and those things need to be gelled together. Those are what we advocate. And this gets down to, once again, the word I want to keep going back for is appreciation of hip hop. How do we show appreciation for hip hop? Well, we've got to show appreciation for our mothers. How many of the hardworking single moms gave birth to hip hop? How many? How
That's right.
many?
That's right.
Even even Cool Herc, his first jam was because his sister Cindy asked him. This was something that she prompted him to do. I know you love music.
Right.
Boom, let's do this. I mean,
right.
come on. The way that they're doing women and men is so dirty, and it's so unappreciated. And I will say this. I believe, and I believe just watching the trends, because there is such thing as karma. There is such thing as universal law. These universal laws, as much as they may have skated around them and thought that their corporate law superseded that, whatever, you know, they're going to have to face the backlash of that. Hip-hop itself now is tired of not being appreciated. And when you're, when, you know, I mean, I would get personal here, but when I was growing up and my dad wasn't showing appreciation to my mom, oh, we heard about that, you know, like, you don't appreciate me. And you know, me and my brother, man, when mom's crying, saying, you know, dad, I would rather take a beating from dad, you know, than have a mom saying, you don't appreciate me, with tears in her eyes, because, you know, it's true. She cooking the meal, she cleaning, she's doing everything humanly possible to make life great for us and to honor us. And we just being fools, you know, as kids, we were being out of line. And, you know, I look at hip hop like that, like, yo, wait a minute. Mom's about to say, in that symbolic sense, like, we've always, I mean, hip hop is one thing. As misogynistic as people want to say it is, hip hop love men and hip hop love their women, almost to a fault at times. We won't go there with it, but it is, if you really hip hop and you really appreciate it, you know, I don't want to put that again over everybody, because, you know, we got some immature folk in our community. But if you really know that and you really appreciate where it came from women. What else is there to say if the mainstream is not acknowledging hip hop and showing it? Can you take him from hip hop? I predict within the next few years, the backlash from the community is going to be evident. the community has had enough. God willing that it's not just talk, but we can actually put organized action behind this. And our organized action is so simple. We have to show appreciation for hip-hop itself. Mm-hmm. We show appreciation for hip-hop itself. I tell you, these kids, there are some sharp 20-year-olds right now. We call them, you know, you've heard the new 20-year-old. These kids can buy houses. They can buy land. They ain't tainted. Mm-hmm. They're ready to go. They're ready to go. And when I meet a 20-year-old who grew up on KRS-One, imagine that. 20-year-old now grew up on KRS-One, meaning his uncle or somebody, thank God, who turned them on to the teacher's music. Man, these kids right. are sharp. These kids are smart. They already know. I would listen to the teacher. Yeah, I've got my own business going right here, but I rap. And then they're nice with it. And, you know, we have to start thinking about rethinking our community. Who cares what the mainstream wants? We don't even want what they want.
Right.
And hip-hop, when hip-hop first began, it was, no, we don't want what they want. We got what we got. Let's give value to what we have. Let's give value to ourselves. And then all
right.
of a sudden,
right.
a construction boot was worth, I mean, Timberland don't give no credit to hip-hop, but, like, that was a worthless, useless construction boot that nobody wanted mm-hmm. to wear for a fashion statement until hip-hop made it cool to wear that, and then everybody be rocking Tim's nowadays. You don't even got to
yeah.
be hip-hop to know that you fresh if you got a fresh pair of Tim's on. Same thing with, we have to reinterpret our environment and our community and show appreciation for that. That's what gets to me, and I've seen this firsthand. Kids are watching TV, but when the truth is up there in their community and they have a place to go, well, then there's a whole other vibe that takes place there. There's a whole other condition that comes onto life. They actually start caring more about hip-hop than you know, a lot of us who grew up with the really good music and remember that time, you know. They really care about that, and they're really passionate about that. Those are the ones that we're interested in. Not that we're not interested in all of us, you know, 40, 35-year-old, 30-year-old, you know. We all, but we're the ones who have to, like, really bear the brunt of the impact. We're the ones who have to, like, shift the energy. We're the ones who have to, you know, the old saying, the buck stops here. We have to just say, no, enough is enough. You guys can't be showing this lack of respect. You can't be disrespecting hip-hop like this. You have to appreciate this. And the kids themselves, when they see that, they gravitate towards that. They want to be part of that. That's even, I mean, if you really look at it at a psychological level, the reason they're able to manipulate people so easy is because people want to be part of something. They want to be cool. They want to be accepted, you know, and their mom, you know, whatever the case may be, and that's really, and it's really innocent at the end of the day when young kids follow trends. It's very innocent because they want to be cool. They want to be accepted. And this, unfortunately, is what their society is telling them. And see, what's happened is we, the actual teachers, the actual elders of the society, are getting sidelined on the mainstream. So I say, fuck the mainstream. You know what? I said this on a thing one time. I said, you know, it's okay. The mainstream don't get, once again, I'm only using this language as hip hop, you know. The mainstream don't give a fuck about us. The mainstream don't give a fuck about us, but that's okay. They shouldn't give a fuck about us. That's not what they're there for. That's not what they're there for. It's a travesty. It's a tragedy. That's what's happening. Yes, we have to get the power back because sound is so. Anybody who studies what you would call maybe mind control or manipulation,
mm-hmm.
media manipulation,
yep.
sound.
Yeah. Sound.
None of the advertisers. You can have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have the most beautiful women and men on TV, but if there's no sound, you ain't selling nothing. Turn off the sound on the
yeah.
TV on those rappers' videos and look how silly they actually look with no sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what
That's
are these
right.
guys doing? Who lives like that? Who does that? Who even, to be honest with you, who even wants that? Like, nobody wakes up going, "That's what I want." Maybe a few people, but, like, nobody I know wake up thinking they want to lay on a big leopard's print bed, you know, drinking with watch. You know, I mean, I just got these video images. I'm like, nobody acts like
yeah.
that in real life. It's a fantasy. It's a total fantasy.
Yeah.
You're right.
And
it's funny how you watch videos nowadays, and
you can tell, you know, just from the beat. Just, you know, I could be in my kitchen making dinner, but listening to the beat, I can imagine what the video it looks like and can be dead on point. Let's see, you'll have someone, you'll have 20 people all with white tees, jeans, chain that hangs down to your belt buckle. Everybody got a cup of some kind. Somebody rented a Bentley to come on the dilapidated block where 500 other people are just sitting in poverty and just in squalor. Well, I won't even say squalor, but you understand what I'm saying. Everybody's on the block repping what? The block that you came from. Okay, well, what, like you had mentioned earlier, you know, what are you doing to bring your people up, you know, as opposed to coming and renting that Bentley to put them in a video? That does what for them? You know, your music, your words. And see, one thing I love, you know, I'm the youngest of three brothers. And what I remember about hip-hop is, you know, being a little girl back then, my brothers used to carry their boom boxes around. And, you know, and I used to hang out with them and their friends or whatever. But the music stuck with me. And as I got older, I started having an appreciation for the lyrics. You know, it engaged you into wanting to understand what they meant, what they were trying to say. And then when you finally got it, you could apply it to your feelings, your thoughts, your life. You know, even now, I think the best time, you know, I tell everybody, my favorite time for hip-hop is anything from about maybe 86 to about 96. And then I'm, you know, I don't see anything that really just grabbed me from there. You know, and I will take my iPod now and play the oldies but goodies. And even my daughter now, you know, she can have a, you know, and even though that's not her number one thing, but it's still in her subliminal mind that, hey, the stuff that you listen to today came from somewhere. It had inspiration from somewhere. And that's what we're thoroughly lacking.
What came before.
That's why we used those samples, because we were showing appreciation for James Brown, Fly in the Family Stone, the reggae greats. You know, that was how we as a community were showing appreciation, was by sampling the music and by giving it up to those who just came right before us from the civil rights movement. And that's why we latched onto that music, because they were showing appreciation for that too.
And that's something that I got, you know, I wanted to mention right fast. Like, okay, you got the movement that Marley had. Bob Marley had his movie doing his music. You got, you know, groups like right now, you got Rage Against the Machine, Rev Theory, 3 Days Grace, all of these alternative groups, Finger 11, that starting their own movement. We don't have anybody, and I don't want to say we like that, but hip-hop does not have anybody to push a movement forward. And that's the problem that I have.
And that's the problem right there, is we actually do have those people in our community. We have MCs. I could name five of them right now. As a matter of fact, I will. We have S5. He was a protege of the teachers. He's a great MC. We have Sun One, who's the newest apprenticeship. There's another guy by the name of Chachella from down south, Chach. He's repping it hard. There's Soli. These MCs, there are MCs who can rap music right, but they're just the doors closed.
Not given that opportunity
to
go. Yeah,
right.
And that's
the one thing, it's the underground, right? It's
I do have to take that back, because what I meant by what I said is, like, we do have, like, it's a guy out right now called Tito Lopez. Dude got all the talent in the world, but he has one song that made it. It's called The Blues. I think I played it for Ray not too long ago, and it's not getting the right push. It's actual hip-hop. It made it to certain stations, and I heard people were calling in requesting for the song, and then once somebody got a wind of it, they started shutting it down. It's another Jay Adams, got a song called Please. Great song, hip-hop.
Love that song.
Right, and it's not getting the right, it's still staying low key, as we say. It's still staying low key. It's not getting that push it needs, because it's a real uplifting song, but it's not getting what it needs.
But see, you just took the word about uplifting, and I really don't think a lot of it is conditioning. I really, truly do. I think, you know, not even just your record labels. I think your politicians. I think a lot of these other, you know, man behind the curtain entities out here have a bigger scheme, you know, in the back of their minds when it comes, because music is impressionable. Music makes you feel a certain way. Music makes you think. I know what P.E. did for me. You know, the first time I heard By the Time I Get to Arizona, what it did for me. You know, so those things, I don't think it's these songs nowadays are designed to make you think. They want to make you dance.
Well,
they want
to make
you smile. They want to make
because,
you drink.
Yeah.
Right, but but remember, you got to remember that, again, when you could get By the Time I Get to Arizona, like Def Jam was still an independent label that had its own autonomy over what it did. Now all of these labels that you see, it looks like it's a lot, but when you break it all down, it's all owned by about four groups, like BMI, Warner, Universal, and Sony. You're breaking it down to just four groups that's controlling everything, and when they say nope, hip hop is supposed to be this, they don't want to see a lot of these people that you were just mentioning get a lot of air because it's going against the grain of what they're saying hip hop should be. That's
exactly. Like you were saying, that's insulting to you because they're telling you, like the man was saying, like it's not our form no more. They're telling you what you like, and they're saying, and it's like the ignorance of it all is saying, hey, you're supposed to be ignorant because this art form is ignorant.
Yeah.
That's
why you gotta stay in the underground. Just like when we just saw that documentary last year about Sounds Like a Revolution, and they were talking about all the counterculture groups and people like Paris and Gorilla Funk, people who are trying to do this thing independently, like KRS-One, Public Enemy. They got their fan base, and they keep trying to push their ideas through their fan base, and then it's up to us, just like what we're doing right now. You know, we've got a nice core audience of people, and I'm sorry you're not getting any calls, but I can see them out there. They're all just sitting around just listening, digging what you're saying, Minister. They're all just digging what you're saying. But, yeah. I mean, it's like we all have to network and keep working because, I mean, forget the mainstream. True Brother Radio is worldwide right now. We're broadcasting worldwide.
Yes.
Anybody archives of this, and that's how you pass it along. We gotta get the teacher on the show, man.
We're gonna do it because I'll tell you, since I know our hour's almost up, I really wanted to go. Because we talked about what we're looking at. Now, where do we go with all of this? We know what it is. We know the mainstream literally does not care. And I can tell you, anybody, as a firsthand witness, as empirical evidence, as a witness in a court of law, I could say they do not care. There is no great song going to come out. Don't wait for it to happen. Just turn them off, tune them out. Truth Brothers Radio got the truth right here, You're getting it right here. This is what it is. This is how we show appreciation. This is how we give back for hip hop. And I tell you, it's a beautiful struggle, like Talib Kweli said, because the thing is this, we have to endure and we will outlast them. We've outlasted them from time and time again. And now we know that they have an agenda. Now we know they don't care. And now we've grown up. We're not just those kids anymore wondering, what are you guys doing to all our music? What are you taking away our shit for? No, we've grown up and we appreciate hip hop now. And I want to just encourage everybody to go out and research your history as a hip hopper. Go to Zulu Nation's website, study Africa, Zimbabwe, Zulu Nation. Study Word. Know who Chief Rocker Busy B is. Know who Grandmaster Caz is and why that's important to the song rapper's delight. Know why that is. I won't even talk about that right now. They got to go out and study why Grandmaster Caz made Rapper's Delight, and he never seen no money from that. This is our culture. This is what we appreciate, these pioneers, and they will not be here forever. That's how I say, if you want to show appreciation for hip-hop culture, spend $1,500, $2,000, $3,000. Fly Busy B out. Fly Busy B or Grand Wizard Theater out.
Well, if they want to do a show, but give them a space to talk about hip-hop on camera. Get that documented now. Ask the questions. What was it like? Why did you do this? This is what we as the Temple of Hip-Hop are here. We are here to preserve the original spirit and intent of hip-hop when it came as a force.
There you go.
That's what we, and I'll tell you, it is alive and well. I got 100 people in an audience right there with the teacher that, and then show everybody out there, if you could just see it with me, 100 people sitting on folding chairs on a Monday night, God knows what else they could be doing out here in Las Vegas, but they're here to hear about hip-hop culture being preserved, so don't let the mainstream lies fool anybody. It is an illusion. 80% of world control is mental. It is the Wizard of Oz. It's just a midget behind a big screen with lots of smoke and mirrors. That's it. We break the illusion. We break them. It's that simple.
That's
and
right.
The way we break the illusion is more simple than that. We show appreciation to what's giving us this inspiration. First, we show appreciation towards that. And you know, if anybody's interested, just go to the Temple of Hip Hop's Facebook page, or you can reach out to us at thetempleofhiphop@gmail.com. And that's how you can find out about bringing the Temple of Hip Hop, bringing the teacher to your area to speak. Because, I mean, the knowledge that I'm talking is based on my experience. It's really based on the teachings of my teacher, KRS-One, and I have no problem saying that to anybody. That is my teacher, and what he's given me as tools to help the community to preserve hip hop. These are tools that are available to any teacher, to father, to any young MC, to any aspiring DJ. These tools are available. They are easy to get. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. We've saved. We preserved. We won. We just have to go claim our victory. And let me throw this last thing out. May 20th to 26th this year is Hip Hop Appreciation Week. And our 40-year birthday, August 11th, from 1973 to August 11th, 2013, is our 40-year birthday. So we're going to have a huge birthday party for hip hop this year. So Hip Hop Appreciation Week is May 20th through the 26th this year. So everybody get up on that and get in contact with us at the temple, and we'll walk you through that.
And we'd love to
no
be a part of that as well. We can't just stop one show about this subject. I mean, we've got to do this again. This was refreshing.
Yeah, I was gonna say
greatly
that.
Appreciated.
That.
This is something we can pass on to others. And I really thank you for representing the Temple of Hip Hop and coming out and joining us tonight. This was awesome.
Well, you're all so welcome. It's such an honor. Thank you.
No, the honor was all ours, man, and we definitely got to set some networking up, man. Me and you got to stay in touch because we want to get you out to the shine, man, and when you get out here, we want to be able to get you guys on, man. We'll give you a whole show. We'll give you the two-hour show, man, to get a whole lot of more of this type of conversations out there, man.
Because you guys, we're going to be in Chicago before you know it. So let's stay in contact down there, and let's set something up, and we'll make it something really special to really, and we'll blow it up like that. Let's stay in contact for that for sure. Our prayers are with Chicago, man. You know, somebody asked me what I thought about the shootings in Chicago, and I was like, which ones? You know, I mean, it just happened once, you know. It's hard. And you guys are just representing what's going on in a lot of inner cities out there. And you know, it's just something that I believe is not going to plague our God willing, you know. I pray every night for guidance and direction for all of us for that, because it's a serious situation. And I'm thankful we can have fun about it and stuff. But, you know, we all know in our hearts how serious it is. We have to make a future for our children. We have to. We have to get this right. It's like failure's not even a remote option. We have no choice but to get this right as hip-hop.
That's right. So thank you so much for coming out, man. We definitely appreciated it. And, this is the second show since we've been back, man. And this was a great one, man. Thank you for coming out, man. Thank Grown Soul, Justice. They all still in the chat room hanging out, man. This was a great show. Feel good.
It was awesome. Definitely had to do this again. Thank you, fellas, for another great show. We got through this. Want to thank Minister Zan for coming on through tonight, you know, dropping his truth on us. It was great.
That's right. And we will be doing it again. We'll be doing it next week. So we're going to go ahead and go on out the door and leave you with this. If you're not listening to the truth, brothers,
then the truth ain't in you.
Peace.
Two fingers up.
Peace.